Excellence in Shipbuilding on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM, and it's just gone 9:20 a.m. and we have Kelby from Discover Yoga in the studio. Good morning, Kelby.
Morning, Josh.
How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
That's pretty good. You've come today as our guest to talk about yoga as a practitioner and a teacher. Can you explain the teacher function a bit more?
Okay. Yoga teaching is what I do full time. Basically, you're there to instruct and basically demonstrate yoga postures to your students to help teach them the finer aspects of yoga and take them through a series of posture. In our classes, we also include different breathing techniques, and in some of our classes, we also include meditation. So we try to broaden the aspects of yoga rather than just relying solely on traditional postures. We teach a variety of styles of yoga. So teaching is pretty in-depth. You have to sort of watch all your students all the time, and you've obviously got different students at different levels within your classes, so you have to give a variety of levels to students so it's a fairly in-depth thing teaching yoga.
So it's a bit of a guide. You mentioned that the traditional posturing, like that's Hatha yoga, that's the style?
Basically, Hatha yoga, is one style. Basically, it covers all the traditional postures as such, but there's many different styles of yoga. Hatha is the main one that I focus on. Yep.
But you said, you mentioned that you do a bit of breathing. That's pranayama?
Pranayama, that's correct. That's the traditional term.
Meditation.
And meditation, yeah.
So there's 8 limbs of yoga.
There are, that's
and,
correct.
And, you've sort of covering 3 there.
Uh-huh.
But there's 5 left. How do you, as a Western sort of yoga teacher, how do you manage to encompass the whole lot without getting overwhelmed, if you try to?
Okay, yeah. That is difficult to include all 8 aspects, which do make up the underlying philosophy of yoga. Most people, when they come to a yoga class, are more interested in just the one aspect, that's the physical postures. We try and broaden that. By including things like the breathing, different aspects of breathing, as well as meditation, and take them deeper. It is difficult to include all aspects. The other aspects include things like practicing non-violence, etc. And I try to incorporate those things into my daily living, into my own life, and sort of just take that out there into the community, and in things that you do, showing compassion, and the way you live, the food that you eat, all those type of things, the people that you meet and how you approach people in your life. It's not easy in a Western society to embrace those underlying aspects, but no. That's a challenge.
So you mentioned the food that you eat. What sort of dietary approach do you take as a yoga teacher?
Okay, yeah, traditionally yoga practitioners have been vegetarians, and it's based on Hindu philosophy, yoga. So traditionally vegetarian diet, yep, definitely.
And that just means no meat products, but you can have a bit of drink of milk, have a bit of cheese.
Yeah, it'll vary from person to person. Some people might take it further and become vegans, etc. I personally don't drink milk, but still eat things like cheese and eggs, etc.
Get the protein.
Yeah, basically it's practicing non-violence. That means non-killing animals, etc. It's a underlying aspect of yoga. And helps you to develop spiritually by not eating animals, etc.
Mm. Yep. Well, Australia seems to have currently experienced a bit of rise in the interest of varied healthy living aspects, like organic foods, veganism, alternative medicines. How has this increased the awareness of yoga in the community?
Yeah, definitely. They go hand in hand. Yoga is growing at a phenomenal rate around the world. It's becoming increasingly popular, as are all those other things, the healthy lifestyle, the organic food, avoiding chemicals, moving into vegetarian diets, etc. They're all going hand in hand, and it just shows that the Western world is changing its approach to living and life, etc., and they're embracing and encompassing things like yoga and vegetarianism. Yeah, they are growing at a tremendous rate.
Because yoga's existed for, I don't know, a few thousand years through the different texts up to now the modern format, what challenges does the modern format have today?
Okay, as I mentioned previously, when most people these days come to a yoga class, they're interested in the physical aspects, doing postures, they want to, you know, improve their flexibility, improve their muscle tone, lose weight, whatever, you know, de-stress. Those are the sort of aspects they're looking for. Traditionally, like yoga, we know predates recorded history. It goes back about 5,000 years that we know of. Obviously, it would have predated that. But yeah, basically, people are really interested more in the physical aspects of it, looking good, being healthy, de-stressing and stuff. Whereas thousands of years ago, it was mainly a spiritual discipline. You know, yoga, the postures, physical postures were developed thousands of years ago so that yogis could sit for long hours in deep meditation. And that's what the physical postures were all about, keeping the spine supple and erect, improving their posture so they could just sit in meditation for long periods and just develop spiritually. And obviously we can still move towards that ourselves if we get deeper into yoga these days. But basically most people just want to get into the physical side of it when they do start yoga.
Do you find that, once they've sort of started, that's the entry point of the physical aspects, but they eventually come around to the other side?
Absolutely. With a lot of people, as they get more involved into yoga, and the people that do stick with it do get deeper and deeper and want more out of yoga and do develop that more spiritual aspect of it, definitely.
How do the Western methods differ from the Eastern in yoga?
Well, it's more basically designed towards students who do want that physical postures alone. And if you go to most yoga classes, they are focused on just doing the physical postures, definitely. Whereas traditionally in the East, there's a lot more sitting, more meditating, more emphasis on the breathing, more emphasis on the lifestyle aspects of yoga as well, embracing vegetarianism, etc., the compassion side of it, etc., the bhakti yoga, the devotional side, chanting, singing, all those things can be brought into to more in the Eastern. It is happening more in the West now. It is expanding. Yeah, definitely.
Do you have a favourite posture?
I've had lots of favourite postures. I quite like inversions, things like the handstand, more dynamic type postures. I find them very invigorating. Things like full back bends, they're very invigorating. Yeah, give you lots of energy. But I think doing things like handstand, inversions are brilliant. Yeah, I love those type of postures.
So it's the invigorating aspect as well as the challenge to the self that you enjoy?
That aspect of it as well, definitely.
Have you had any students that you've seen go from beginners to practitioners that you've like helped along the way?
Yeah, I've got quite a few students who've gone on, they started with me, have now gone on to become, currently doing yoga teacher training courses here in Brisbane. Yeah, that's, yes.
So as a teacher yourself, that must be pretty special for... Yeah, seeing them grow.
Absolutely, yeah. That's one of the really fun parts of being a teacher is seeing your students come in, particularly people who start from scratch, and just seeing them develop and their personalities open. It's not just their bodies that open up physically; it's also all the other aspects emotionally, spiritually, and just their personalities and everything change as well as the bodies open. They get more flexible, more core strength, but also a lot of them are quite shy or whatever when they come in, and you just see their personalities expanding and everything, all aspects of their body, and they mature, and it's great when they go on to become yoga teachers themselves. That's really special, yeah.
That's pretty inspiring. We mentioned before about that yoga's been around for a few thousand years, which means there's been a lot of writing about it. Do you have any particular texts that you would advise people to seek?
There's a couple, like the Bhagavad Gita gives... a great spiritual discourse on a lot of the aspects of yoga. There's many great yoga books out there. Many of them do focus on just the physical postures and stuff, like BKS Iyengar. It's got a great book called Light on Yoga. It's one of the better ones on the market if people are interested in getting into yoga. But definitely, if you want the deeper philosophical side of yoga, the Bhagavad Gita is highly recommended.
You've been doing yoga for about 5 years?
5 or 6 years, that's right. Yeah.
Did you have a similar beginning to some of your students, or was it more of a...
It was, yeah, definitely, that's right. Yeah, I started down when I was living in Byron Bay.
The big yoga community?
Absolutely, yeah. It's very focused on that kind of living in Byron Bay, yep.
Do they encourage the attention of a... Like, do you ever aim to get a guru? I'm not sure whether that's still the correct terminology, but... Yeah, with the yoga aspirations, do people still try to get gurus?
Some do, definitely. Like, I was never encouraged in that way. I was more encouraged to find my own individual path and just take what I could learn from different teachers and embrace that into my own way of living. So I was never really pushed into that direction of having a guru, no, but I know people that have.
You've got a flyer and it says that yoga encourages a journey of self-discovery. I was wondering, how do you arouse an interest in yoga without compromising the self-discovery aspect?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. It is very much a journey of self-discovery. As I mentioned previously, you know, it's great to see your students come along and they're all stiff and tight and stressed or whatever. Not all, but yeah, as a general rule. And it's great just to see their bodies opening up, and not just that, but also their personalities and every aspect of their lives and stuff begin to change when the physical body changes. And you see them start to detox and start to glow, and their eyes get clearer and start to sparkle. You know, they're just some of the underlying aspects of it. But yeah, that's a hard one. You know, it is very much a journey. You know, and hopefully they can change their whole lifestyle. I don't push vegetarianism onto people. I don't even talk about that in my classes. But you know, and it's not, you don't have to be to stop eating meat to be able to do yoga. I'm sure a lot don't, particularly in the West. So,
So it's one of those things where if someone comes to you with a question, then you're willing to answer it, but you're not going out promoting everything. It's just,
absolutely,
yeah.
yeah.
I think that's actually a really good way of doing it, just because it's you're not pushing anything onto anyone. You're allowing them to, yeah, self-discover. So I know, mad props.
Exactly what it is, yeah.
Nice one. We have been playing a few tracks today. We heard from Mantra Girl, who you said does oh, I forgot the name, Chakra Yoga. She's a teacher as well as a musician. We heard from Jai Atal, who's another teacher in the States. Why do you use music in yoga?
Okay, personally, you know, a lot of schools don't use music, and a lot do. Particularly in the United States, music is used extensively in the classes. I've done some of my training over there, and I found it very invigorating, very uplifting, and creates a good mood to do yoga in, to have music. Yeah, and that's why I do use music. It's an extra tool to sort of create a very good vibe in the class and just lift the mood and yeah, so people can enjoy their yoga more and get more fully into it. Absolutely, yeah.
Does it also help with the timing aspect of how long you should hold poses for?
It can do, yeah. That is one aspect of it. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, there's one track that I wanted to end on today, which I've heard in a meditation class. It's called Sitaram, and it has this interesting little story behind it. And I just wanted you to, I know, explain the story to the listeners before we hear it.
Okay, Sitaram, again, basically it's moving energy. Like Sita and Ram were two Hindu deities. One's feminine, one's masculine, they were partners. And what we're doing with this song, or when we use it in I use it in meditation courses, etc., for chanting, basically we're trying to shift energy from the physical up to the more spiritual. So from we're combining or basically creating a union of the masculine and feminine energies within the body to lift from one, the physical, to the more spiritual. And this song is a great one to help do that, and that's the underlying basis of this song.
And there's also, you mentioned the deity aspect, Sita and Ram. Do they jump from country to country or something?
Yeah, this was one thing. Well, basically Sita was kidnapped from India and taken to Sri Lanka, and Ram, the male deity, wanted to get Sita back, his consort or partner. So he got his trusty guy, Hanuman, Lord Hanuman, the monkey god, to go and rescue her, and he did, and brought her back to India. And basically, this jumping from Sri Lanka to India was symbolic of lifting from our base chakra to up to the spiritual third eye chakra in the physical body. So there's a lot of underlying aspects of Hindu philosophy and yogic philosophy. Definitely, yeah. So we
Excellent.
use these gods to get across a more subtle underlying aspects of yoga.
Plus, the mythology gives something interesting to read about as well, and to discover once again.
Absolutely. If you want to get deeper into yoga, yeah, read things like the Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, and they have all that about the deities and the underlying aspects of yoga.
Well, thanks to Kelby for coming in today on Excellence in Shipbuilding. It was really good to have you in.
Thank you, Josh.
Do you have any final words, Kelby?
No, I just want to thank you once again and hope that the people out there will come along and try yoga sometime to improve the quality of their life.